Next on BYUSN, the Big 12 postseason awards out for everyone to see. Which BYU players were honored, and were any Cougars snubbed? Plus, today marks the start of the Big 12 men's basketball tournament. What are our expectations for BYU in Kansas City?
ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us from Vegas to preview the Big 12 tournament. What does BYU need to do to improve their seed in the NCAA tournament? And with the regular season over, did we nail our preseason predictions? The answer is no. Wait and see what we said.
Hey, we were kind of close. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Live from, of course, Provo, Utah, and with boots on the ground, Jerem Jordan in Kansas City, I am Spencer Linton. Jerem, how are things in front of T-Mobile Center at the moment?
Yeah, buzzing with four more teams in the league. There's a bigger tournament this year, and eight teams will compete today. There's shirts and jerseys and hats from just about everywhere. Kansas, of course, packs this place. Iowa State will do so tomorrow. They're going to travel really well. Seen a bunch of BYU fans here, who I think, like us, at some point were scared that they would actually play today. No, BYU's got the double bye, baby, all the way to Thursday, which will be fun for us because we're going to do that dual kind of half show where we talk, half show where you talk during the game coming up on Thursday, probably against Iowa State, which will be a lot of fun. But it's a fun environment. But the thing that I am shocked about the most isn't anything from Kansas City. It's that last night.
Wait, what?
I learned from Twitter that Richie Saunders' great-grandpa invented tater tots.
Come on!
This is shocking news. As if we didn't think he was a legend already, he started Ora Ida. They sold it to Heinz. And Richie Saunders ends up getting first team all Big 12. It was a big Richie Saunders day. It really was.
Can I have some of your tots?
Give me some of your tots.
All of the Napoleon Dynamite references. What a... That's wild. Yeah, Richie, again.
Crazy, right?
He comes from elite lineage, clearly. Hey, we've got a lot to discuss. And not surprisingly, we're going to talk a lot of basketball with you in Kansas City. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Kings. Richie Saunders stuffs stat sheets.
Richie Saunders is a first-team all-conference player. When you can make shots with the consistency and the efficiency that he has been able to, now we start talking about the next level.
Fireman and apparently the tater tot king, Richie Saunders, is also a first-team all-Big 12 conference player and was dubbed yesterday the Big 12's most improved player when all of the annual awards were announced yesterday. Okay, so, Jerem, let's start our conversation about those postseason awards right here. What's the bigger deal for Richie Saunders, most improved player in the entire Big 12 conference, or the fact that he was named first-team all-Big 12?
Both are big-time, Spence. Most improved is the answer to me. It's the biggest feather in Kevin Young's cap of, do I develop players? Look at this guy. He was outstanding this year. You look at conference numbers. Third in points, fifth in field goals, first in three-point percentage. Again, he's a wing. He's not a big. Crazy numbers, shooting 52%. Made almost three threes a game, tied for fourth. Amazing. You look at the improvement from last year to this year, as we take a look at overall numbers, 6.4 points per game better, still in the 50s in field goal percentage. How about up 7.3% in threes? Threes per game up, minutes per game up. Kevin Young can say to recruits, look at this dude and what I did with him. And I was thinking about the whole roster, Spence, like, did someone get worse? No. Did everyone get better? I would argue yes. I think Mawit Mag's development from the beginning of the year to the end, Kay Bakeda recaptured kind of who he was. Dallin Hall rediscovered himself in a different role. Trevenel continued to be that guy. Foose continued to be that guy. I mean, Dawson Baker, we saw what he did against Utah at this level right after coming off a foot injury. He develops players. The staff did a great job. It speaks to the relationships they have. It speaks to the great team culture that BYU has. Congrats to Richie, most improved player in the Big 12. You think about how hard it is to win individual awards now, Spence, with 16 teams. This isn't the WCC with 10 teams where BYU should have a bunch of guys. It's hard. And he's a first-team guy and the most improved player in the league. It's amazing.
It's a great point by you, and I'll add this. The first team has 10 players on it, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But unfortunately, that now looks just a hair watered down, which is crazy, right? This is the Big 12. There are 16 teams, and I know that some national analysts are having opinions about not having just five guys there. Richie's part of that 10. But again, this most improved player is an individual accomplishment just for Richie. There's nobody else. It's not like there are two or three guys in the Big 12 that were the most improved players. This is an individual award and very well deserved. This is an incredibly balanced BYU basketball team. You pointed out everything that Richie did that was so impressive in the Big 12 compared to the rest of the Big 12 conference. He led this BYU team, yes, in three-point makes, in three-point field goal percentage, but also in steals, Jerem. He's a complete player. He has an unbelievable motor, and he plays defense, and he's just, in many ways, the engine that makes BYU go. So I was happy to see him get an individual award. And, yeah, it can only help the recruiting front for Kevin Young pointing at a guy like Richie Saunders. Like, that alone, this award alone for Richie should drive a few more players, or maybe more importantly, Jerem, keep some players that are currently on the roster from not hopping in the transfer portal and pursuing greener pastures. That matters a lot.
What can he do with A.J. Dubonsa if he did that with Richie Saunders? Like, obviously A.J.'s up there already, but, like, the ceiling is up for guys that average 10 a game to get in the NBA. Richie Saunders is going to play in more NBA games than Eric Mika, T.J. Haws, Elijah Bryant combined in the future. Calling my shot. I just, his improvement, his skill has been amazing. On to this. John Rothstein tweeted about the 10 players being on the All-Big 12 first team, which we're not in favor of. We would like that to just be five. He said there are 10 players in the All-Big 12 first team. 10. Inconceivable! Benici, the Princess Bride, which I think you can watch on BYU TV. We show that occasionally. Would Richie have made the All-Big 12 first team if it was only five players, in your opinion?
Well, let me channel my inner Vestini. Hello! Hello! Yes! Of course he would have made. He's one of the five best players in the Big 12 right now. If we just look at stats alone, you could make a case for it. But then you kind of have to consider the value that each of these guys bring to their individual teams. What would BYU be without Richie Saunders? That's where my mind went this morning. Holy cow. I hate to even think about it. This dude, I mean, just his effort won BYU at least a few huge games, notably Arizona, knocking down those clutch free throws on the road with all the pressure on. Richie Saunders matters a lot to his team, and I put stock into the value that each of these guys bring to their respective clubs. To me, he is a top five player, yes. I would like to see the Big 12 move to just five players. Just name five players on each of the three teams. It's okay. You still have 15 players combined over the three teams. Really, you're just leaving players 16 through 20 out, and they become honorable mentions? That's okay. Yep. I'm totally okay with that. But to me, yes, Richie, with value and the stat sheet to back it up of every category that he led Big 12 players in, should be first team all Big 12, even if there were only five players. Do you see it differently? Like, would he be the sixth guy in that list?
No, he'd be on the top five. JT Toppin would make it player of the year from Texas Tech. Hunter Dickinson was second in league points and rebounds per game. He deserves to be in there, even though Kansas wasn't as good again this year. LJ Cryer, to me, was the best player on the best team. He was good. Richie Saunders should be in there. And then Javon Small, second in assists, fifth in scoring. Those are the top five I would put in the All-Big 12 first team if it was only five players. But it's 10, and he made it. Amazing. All good.
Jerem,
whatever.
Listen, like, how about his durability? Like, it's hard to play the majority of the season. I think Richie sat out, one game? He played in every game but one. Some of the players in that list did not play as many games as Richie, so you have to factor in durability and consistency as well, playing through things. His toughness is notable. All right, let's keep this thing rolling. BYU freshman Yegor Demin named an All-Big 12 honorable mention and, not surprisingly, was named to the All-Freshman Big 12 team. But did Yegor deserve more than an honorable mention when you're talking about all-conference players? We're talking about a lottery pick here.
I think those are two separate conversations. No, I don't think he deserved first, second, or third team. I think if he had shot the ball better, then perhaps, Spence. But he had a tremendous year. I think he's basically on the fourth team, which is cool with me. Honorable mentions that spot. In conference play, as you can see, among freshmen, fourth in points, first in assists, which, by the way, that's a single-season record for BYU as of now, topping Danny Ainge in the late 70s. First in assist-turnover ratio. He was fourth overall in assists. 10th overall in assist-turnover ratio. Turned it over a little bit more later in conference play. He's still figuring it out, but guess what? His vision is number one in the league. His ability to see over the defense, number one in the league. Those aren't quantifiables, but I'm telling you, he is unbelievable. He had a great freshman year. Were we expecting him to shoot better and turn it over maybe a little less? Yes. But the kid's 18. He's going to be a lottery pick after this year if he wants to go. If he doesn't go after this year and he stays and plays with AJ, oh, my gosh, that would be awesome. And we've talked about it. There's probably a bigger chance that happens than people think. I'm not saying he's staying. I'm just saying that chance is actually realistic, potentially. We'll see in the offseason.
I think that Yegor deserved to be on the all-freshman team. I think an honorable mention is enough. And you pointed out it turned the ball over too much. There were certainly some concerns there. And he knows it. He brought it up with me on Saturday night after the Utah game. Said, I wasn't good enough. I didn't take care of the ball well enough. I wasn't ready for the physicality. I'm learning. I'm growing. And I have adjusted. So, and that's his number one focus. Like, if you said, what's the one thing you're focused on right now to get better as a basketball player? He'll tell you, it is taking care of the basketball. So, I think that's a totally valid and fair criticism and probably a reason he's not on that third team. But he shot 27.6% from the three-point line, maybe 28%. I've been looking at a lot of numbers as we've been getting ready for this morning. But point is, 28% from the three-point line, probably not good enough if you're a guard to get onto one of those three all-Big 12 teams, even though there are 20 combined players. Honorable mention is still a very nice nod to Yegor Dimon, and he absolutely is one of the most dynamic freshmen in the second strongest college basketball conference in America. Like, look, I know that the SEC kind of took it, the front. They took the lead this year. But let's not kid ourselves. The Big 12 with 16 teams, it's still super hard to be even an honorable mention. So this is nothing to hang Yegor's head about. Like, he has earned this, and I'm with you. I cannot wait if he decides to come back to see BYU basketball team would look like next year.
Come back, Yegor! Which, by the way, KenPom has it as the third best conference. They have the Big Ten number two. And guess what? I think Yegor probably took second in the freshman of the year voting. VJ Edgecombe of Baylor won that. Well deserved.
Deservedly
I think Yegor
so.
Was supposed to be the freshman of the year. Yeah. Yegor is probably second to me. All right, moving on. Were any other BYU players snubbed from the All Big 12 awards?
If we're talking just stats and what these players did in Big 12 games, there aren't many eye-popping numbers from other BYU players. The fact that BYU is arguably, next to Houston, the most balanced team in the conference actually does not help you in these individual awards because it's just so evenly spread out. But you know what? I'll take that all day, every day, and so will every single individual in that locker room and on that staff. They will take being one of the best, most cohesive, balanced teams in the conference. So, no, statistically speaking, I don't think that BYU had any players that were snubbed. Now, if you ask me, is Kaba Keita or Mawit Magg one of the best defensive players in the conference? My eyes tell me yes. And their stats might not back that up, but you ask the teams that they play against and their teammates that guard them in practice every day, and they'll say, oh yeah, even though they're not on the all Big 12 defense team, they both are two of the best defenders in the league. But again, the balance and the minutes and going 11 deep in the bench are just naturally going to keep some of those numbers down. So no snub statistically speaking, but I do think that Kaba and Mawit are two of the best, at least better defenders in the conference, even though they're not going to show up on that team specifically.
I think if there was a 10-team all-defensive team that one or maybe both of them would have made it, to your point. Yeah, and think about it. Kaba Keita doesn't play like 28 minutes a game like most centers. He plays like 20.
Yes.
He splits it evenly with his fellow countryman, Foose, which, by the way, I was just thinking about it. We're probably a little bummed that Cannon Catchings didn't end up being an all-freshman player. I don't think he deserved that based on the numbers, but I'm saying, like, from the beginning of the year, I think we thought he would have been on that list, Spencer. He showed some brilliance during the year. There wasn't the consistency we were probably hoping for. The hope is that, one, because every year is just free agency, that he stays, maybe bounces to the NBA and goes. I don't know that he's a first-round guy right now. We'll evaluate all this later. But Cannon Catchings has an upside that's real high, and we're excited to see it. It would have been nice if he had played a year where he was good enough to be all freshman. And hopefully we'll see him this week. He's still day-to-day, by the way. We're not sure if we'll see him against Iowa State Thursday.
Oh, we wish him a speedy recovery to Cannon, no doubt about it, because BYU, obviously, as they move into March Madness, want to have their full arsenal of players. We'll pause that conversation and move now to the staff, Jerem, as we discuss Kevin Young. BYU notably picked to finish ninth in the Big 12. They finished in a tie for third. They've won eight straight. They have the double bye. They have been tabbed one of the hottest college basketball teams in America. It's been an incredible run for Kevin Young in year one, and the growth has been obviously notable. He's not the Big 12 Coach of the Year, however. Should Kevin Young have won Big 12 Coach of the Year?
Well, in our biased opinion, yeah. Look, Houston did something incredible, right? What'd they lose? One game in league?
Wild.
One, was it one? Two? Unbelievable. Sometimes the Coach of the Year is the best coach from the best team, and other times it's the surprise team's coach. In this case, it was the best team's coach. Mark Few didn't win it a ton in the WCC. Remember the year with Damon Stoudemire
yes.
won it a couple years
See,
ago?
See, Kevin
Mark
Young
Pope's
would be the Damon.
Should have won it.
Yeah, Kevin Young would be the Damon, right?
Yes, exactly. He didn't get it. I wish Kevin would have got it, though, because the way BYU's playing, as you mentioned, Bart Torvik says the last month BYU's the second best team in college basketball to number one Duke. What Kevin Young has done has been unbelievable. He's figured it out. They took their lumps. They weren't going to be great just out of the gate. Sometimes it takes time. Kevin Young could have won it. I'm not shocked he did not. But he wins the BYUSN
yes.
Big 12 Coach of the Year.
That's all that matters. He wins the BYUSN Coach of the Year. Next! Yeah. All right, let's finish out this award conversation.
The Big 12 tournament starts today with the first round games. What are your expectations for BYU in the Big 12 tournament?
To win a game, I just want BYU to win a game and take it to nine straight wins and have an opportunity, most likely, to face Houston again, to see just how different things could be for BYU at the very end of the Big 12 season compared to game number two in Big 12 play. I want to see the growth. I don't believe BYU would be run off the floor this time. They're playing with a ton of confidence. So expectations, I think BYU will take advantage of their extra rest. They will piece together a game plan that works, find a way to get to Friday. So win one game are my expectations. So BYU just has a chance to take on Houston and see where they stand against a team that many people are now choosing as their favorite to win the national championship. So for me, it's hard for me to ask for more than that because I'm probably asking BYU to beat Iowa State in order to get that opportunity to play Houston. So it's super simple, Jerem. Just beat, you know, top 15 team with a ton of
Do
their fans
again.
In Kansas City after you just beat them on their home floor and they're uber motivated. Just take care of that. Get to Friday. Where are your expectations for the Cougars?
I don't have a lot, and here's why. This season will not be defined by what happens here this week. It will not. If BYU won the Big 12 tournament unbelievably through probably Iowa State, Houston, and then we'll see who they get to on the other side, Arizona or Texas Tech, that would be unbelievable. Like, BYU would be literally the hottest team in the country if they aren't already, if they did that. If they don't win Thursday night, Spence, and we'll explore this more this week, it doesn't really hurt BYU. It's about winning in the NCAA tournament. It would be nice to win here.
Yeah.
BYU does not need neutral site quad one wins to add to the resume that much. Sure, it helps. It doesn't really hurt, though, if BYU lose Thursday night. So I think there's not a lot of pressure on BYU. Obviously, they want to keep their streak going. I would like a win Thursday night.
Yeah.
I frankly don't need it. What I need is 5 or 6 seed and a win in the first round, and then let's see if we can't get to the Sweet 16 without a National Player of the Year for the first time.
I guess technically it's Thursday morning that they're playing, but the point is
That's right.
just get to Friday.
I'm all lost. What time is it?
I don't know.
Is it 7 p.m.? What time is it here?
Daylight savings needs to die a slow, awful death.
Shout out to the farmers. We love you.
Get rid of that thing. Get rid of that. Yeah, shout out to Richie Saunders' family who invented tater tots. Like, we love you, but daylight savings has got to go. Get it out of here. All right, good stuff. More from Jeremy in just a moment. Our question of the day, what are your expectations for BYU in the Big 12 tournament? At True Blue BYU 1984 says, hopefully win a game, but it'll most likely be Iowa State, and that's a tall task to beat them twice in 1 week. At KW Jazzman on X adds, honestly, none as far as expectations go. It would be fun to win a game or two, but really just stay healthy and get some good reps for the dance. Stay healthy is Amen. A great point. Yes. On the way. But first, number 17 BYU men's basketball will play in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament on Thursday, 12:30 Eastern, 10:30 Mountain. Join me and a special guest, BYU TV basketball analyst, for a simulcast as we discuss BYU's chances in the Big 12 bracket and the NCAA tournament bracket. After the break, ESPN's Sean Farnham joins the show from Las Vegas. He's calling the West Coast Conference Championship game today. Remember that? What are his expectations for BYU in Kansas City? This is BYUSN.
Just confident because of obviously the wins, as you pointed out, but just the way they work.
It really has been our mantra, taking things game by game and day by day. That approach for me is not going to change. We'll see who our opponent is in game one, and we'll prepare for that game just like we did every other game.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. Jerem Jordan will join us from Kansas City again in just a few minutes. But first, we welcome in the hardest working man in college basketball television. He is the great Sean Farnham of ESPN, who is joining us from Las Vegas, fresh off calling not one but two West Coast Conference semifinal games, setting up St. Mary's and Gonzaga again. He's calling a timeout there to be with us as we preview the Big 12 tournament. Sean, I know that you are worked to the bone. Your voice is tired, but gosh dang it, we respect you, man.
I you know what? I'm glad you do, because the voice, like, look, I saw an ear, nose, and throat yesterday. They said my vocal cords are fine. It's just the compression of overuse is pushing them together. So my voice sounds a little off, but hopefully it doesn't annoy too many people.
No annoyance. Again, just respect for your ability
to
push through.
At least let's not annoy them more than my voice normally annoys people.
Oh, well said. Okay, I mentioned the West Coast Conference tournament in Vegas. Do you miss us at the Orleans? Because we kind of miss you down there a little. You, not so much the tournament, but we miss you.
Yes, but that's why I'm going to be flying from here to Kansas City.
Let's
and then
go.
Have two games on Wednesday, two games on Thursday, and then do studio the rest of the way from there. I'll be on the opposite side of the bracket from where BYU is at. I'll have the night session, but it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a great tournament when we get to Kansas City. But yeah, different vibes since you guys left the WCC, right? Like, as the kids would say, the aura isn't quite the same. You know, you guys, but it was fun because you knew the Zags were going to pack it, and then BYU was going to pack it. And so then you always had a really good arena, especially like on semifinal night.
Yeah.
It's kind of changed a little bit, but it's good. And tonight it'll be sold out. It'll be loud. And it's, you know, these two teams now have faced 29 times in the last 10 years.
Crazy.
Think about that. That's literally almost three times a year, every year. It's ridiculous.
And you've called like 26 of those 29.
Yeah.
Give or take, something like that, a crazy number. But to your point, you'll finish up in Vegas and then you'll head to Kansas City, where you will have a front row seat to watch what is one of the more entertaining postseason conference tournaments in all of college basketball. We'll get to expectations for BYU in just a moment, but let's talk about the postseason awards. You called it early, and we wanted Richie Saunders to be a first-team guy. You said he is and will be a first-team guy. That came to fruition yesterday. Why did Richie Saunders deserve, most notably, that honor from the Big 12?
Did you watch him play?
Indeed.
I mean, that's why. I mean, everybody saw how hard he plays. Everybody sees how he competes and his shot-making ability and how well he scores the basketball, the efficiency in which he's able to do it. You know, the interesting thing for Richie, he's going to have some decisions to make here, because I talked to multiple NBA scouts while I've been here in Las Vegas, and I've asked them specifically about Richie Saunders. I said, what's your thoughts on Richie Saunders? It varies from team to team. Everybody loves how hard he plays. Everybody loves how he shoots the ball. But the question becomes is how impactful can he be at the next level? And some teams believe that he can impact winning and be a guy that comes off the bench and sparks the team. Others feel like he's maybe a little bit below that still. So the question will come for him is, who does he believe? Does his people around him believe? And I know certainly Kevin Young will have really good information for him, but he deserves all these accolades. He deserves to be in that conversation. He deserves to explore the NBA draft this year and then make a decision of what he wants to do.
Sean, he's been such a good shooter, to your point, led the Big 12 in three-point field goal percentage. He's one of the top five scorers in the league. He led BYU in steals this season. Like, he's a complete player. So along with the motor and the energy that he constantly plays with, which is his superpower, no doubt about it, what aspect of his game do you feel like would translate best to the league?
His physicality, his willingness to sacrifice his body and his willingness to rough it up and mix it up a little bit. Like, he's a tough guy. Like, and he's not afraid to back down. Like, there's no fear in him. And I think if you're going to play in the NBA and you're going to be a guy that comes off the bench and play against some of the greatest players to ever play the game, well, you can't have fear. And you've got to have good self-confidence and good self-belief. And Richie Saunders has that in spades. So I do think that that's, to me, his best trait. Like, he doesn't mind attacking off the bounce. He doesn't mind, you know, throwing an elbow here or there underneath on a rebound. You know, he does what it takes, and he's not afraid to do it. So he's that's his best trait to me, outside of obviously his shooting and some of the things that you mentioned.
ESPN's Sean Farnham is on BYU Sports Nation, working hard in Las Vegas. He'll be in Kansas City later this week. BYU has the double bye. It's been a remarkable run to get BYU into a top four position, but here they sit after eight straight wins. Most likely, if the bracket holds true and chalk prevails, BYU would have a rematch with Iowa State on Thursday morning. I know it's postseason play. Anything can happen. But what are your expectations for the Cougars on Thursday morning and how they may advance in the bracket?
Well, I always look at it in these conference tournaments. I think early in games, we've often seen that the team that plays first gets off to a little bit better of a start while they find their rhythm. So I think for BYU, regardless of who they play, but in particular, if they play Iowa State, they cannot get off to a slow start. You cannot be playing catch up against a team that's as good as Iowa State is. So you've got to be able to find your rhythm in the T-Mobile Center. You need to be able to get that energy flowing and really come out firing on all cylinders, because they're going to have a game advance into you. And their guys have worked out all the kinks and they figured it out. So I think that's the most important thing. And then we go back to what I said the first game, turnovers. You know, I mean, if you want to play with fire again, go ahead, turn it over 29 times. Let's see how it turns out. I'm pretty sure it's not going to turn out the same way. Why? Because there's been no team in the last 25 years that won a game with that many turnovers. And I know they rebounded the ball really, really well in that game. But you've got to value the basketball. It's tournament time now, and it's March. You need to value your basketball and make sure you put yourself in the best situation you possibly can.
Sean, how much does what BYU will do in Kansas City affect their resume and their status in the NCAA tournament?
You're relaxed. Like, I mean, it's pretty much put to bed now. One guy, I said this. I mean, the win against Iowa State at Iowa State is more impactful than a neutral site win over Iowa State.
Amen.
Okay, so if you win against Iowa State again, sure, that might, you know, maybe now we're talking about moving up another line. So there are opportunities here in this tournament because of the strength of the conference to move up and be better. But let's not get overwhelmed by the fact that in order to move up in the net, the KenPom, and all these other things, other teams have to lose around you too. It's not like you're just going to be jumping over teams because you got a, you know, a really good win. And you jump over those teams when they take losses, and who do they lose to? So it's imperative that when you think about the seeding process for BYU, you're not just looking at the Big 12 tournament, because you're not seeded just against your conference. You're seeded against the field. So what's going on in other conferences? Are there other teams that are around the seed line that Joe Lunardi is predicting that are taking losses? They open up a door of opportunity to potentially move up a line. At the most, you're going to move up a line. I don't think you'll move down a line at all, because a loss to Iowa State doesn't hurt.
BYU does have potentially an opportunity to play against Houston if they get past Iowa State. And I know that's a huge if. I believe that the Cougars in red will do their part and they'll be in the semifinals on Friday, because along with BYU. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. Sean, oh my gosh. Like, I think they're going to win the national championship. They're playing. They have shot makers this year, Sean. Houston has shot makers to go along with everything that Kelvin Sampson already brings in. But I am, maybe this is selfish of me. I just would like to see how BYU matches up a second time with Houston compared to when they got absolutely boat raced early in the season. If that happened, what kind of game do you believe we would see from BYU compared to what they were the first time they played at the Fertitta Center?
It'd be tighter. It'd be a lot tighter. BYU's playing a lot better now than they were then. Houston, though, I mean, they don't run plays, they execute them. They don't compete at the defensive end of the floor, they disrupt. You know, I mean, they don't rebound the ball, they attack the ball. It's the mindset of who they are. I mean, I was at their shoot around on Saturday at Baylor, and the team wasn't focused to the level in which Kelvin Sampson wanted. So he lined them up and they started running liners. 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. On day of game. He doesn't care because he says, we don't have bad practices. Because if you have a bad practice, you're building bad habits. So therefore, if my team's not doing right, we're just going to run. At least we're in good shape. And he did it on Saturday before they played Baylor. It's unbelievable. So I talked to LJ Cryer. I said, LJ, like, it's kind of crazy. You guys were running liners, like, you know, at a shoot around. He goes, that's not a shoot around. It's a practice. I said, true. And then he goes, but by the way, he holds us all accountable. There's been times in practice where he didn't like the energy or the focus of the coaches, and he's lined the assistant coaches up and ran them. That's just who they are. So I think that we talk so much about Auburn. We talk so much about Duke. Houston's ready. As long as they can make it through this tournament healthy. Remember, it was a year ago Jamal Shedd went down. If Jamal Shedd doesn't go down last year, I think they could have won a title last
100%.
Year. 100%. But this team made the transition from the American to the Big 12, and everybody said, well, now they're going to play against real basketball teams. Okay. They have 4 losses in 2 years in conference play.
That's ridiculous.
That's insane. It's insane. So this is a legit team. And look, if you guys played Houston, I would not favor you to win that game. But I do think it would be a much more competitive game. And I think it would be a positive thing for BYU to go through.
Yeah.
Because that defense is one of one. But that defense might be similar to events to what you could see if you happen to match up with St. John's, how physical they are. And so it would just prepare you one more time to have better ball control and to be stronger off the bounce, to make sure you're moving it with passing and not over dribbling, because when you dribble against a defense like that, they bring 2 to the ball, then they have interceptors and they get out and transition and run. So you really got to trust and move the ball quickly, which BYU's done a really good job during this 9-game win streak. And it'll be a lot of fun to watch if it gets there.
All right, Sean, we'll finish with this. You talked a little bit about if BYU beats an Iowa State and they have another quad one win on a neutral floor and they get to a matchup with Houston, that maybe that bumps the Cougars up a seed line. I don't know. I kind of feel like BYU is really close to the ceiling. It would take winning the Big 12 tournament, in my opinion, to jump BYU to a case where they would deserve like a 4 seed. Lenardi has them as a 5. Like, should we be content with a 5 seed?
Yes.
100%. Yes. Yeah, right?
Like, remember when there was a time when I came on the show and you guys were like, what do we have to do to make the tournament? Can we get to 10 wins? Can we get to 10 wins? Can we be 10-10?
Oh.
And then I was like, well, you know, to make the tournament, you could do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And everybody laughed and said, like, oh, like, make it sound so easy. It wasn't easy, but it's exactly what this team did. And they've gone off and they have played great basketball. BYU fans have been on a ride. Enjoy the ride. Now, I understand that because of the success in which they've played with, you want to see them have the best opportunity to advance. It's March. I will tell you that the best team doesn't always win. I lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament my junior year at UCLA, and they'd say guards are the most important position in the NCAA tournament, right? We had a backcourt of Baron Davis and Earl Watson, and we lost to Detroit Mercy in the first round of the NCAA tournament. We had 7 NBA players on my roster. 7. And we lost in the first round.
Wild.
The NCAA tournament is unpredictable. So we can project out. We can wonder what it's going to look like. Breathe. This BYU team has been amazing and fun to watch all season long. Kevin Young has done a tremendous job. They've played well. They've represented the university well. Now they've positioned themselves so that they know they're in the field. And they know they're going to be wearing a home color uniform in the NCAA tournament. Let's see on Sunday when the name finally pops up. You can read all the bracketologists all you want. Check out Joe Lunardi every day. Drive yourself crazy if you want. But on Sunday, the actual bracket comes out, and that's when you will know your path in the NCAA tournament. And when it comes out, the matchup will be hard. Why? Because every team that makes the NCAA tournament has a belief, like if you're a low major team, you won your championship to get there. If you're a high major team, you've probably played a gauntlet of a schedule. So on any given night, anything can happen. But let's wait and see on Sunday. And again, BYU, grab your Cougar tails, go to Swig, sit back tonight, relax, wait and see what's going to happen. Tomorrow when Iowa State plays, you sit there and go, okay, yeah, Iowa State, that's who we got again. And then on Thursday, make sure you're in Kansas City, packing the place,
yes,
saying hi to Jerem. I really do hope that the BYU crowd that we saw here at the WCC tournament, I get to see in Kansas City this week, because last year it was a little lighter than normal. I'm hoping this year that everybody's like on board and going, okay, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Amen to that. Sean Farnham spitting facts on BYU Sports Nation. We're wishing you some relief to your voice, my friend. Many herbal teas.
Yeah, I
got
to stop talking to you.
Sorry.
Like, why am I wasting my voice
Spencer,
talking
stop
to you?
Spencer, stop asking questions.
I mean, for the love of, I've got six games to call between tonight and Thursday. What am I doing talking to you?
I don't know. Super selfish. Super selfish.
You're ridiculous.
Love you, Sean. Be well, man. We'll look forward to the call tonight and see you in Kansas City.
I'll be in Kansas City. You should be there, too. I can't believe you're not. I'll miss you.
Next year, bro. Next year. All right. Sean
Farnham. That's what you said last year, by the way, just so you know.
Putting it out there for my producers. All right. Great stuff from Sean Farnham in Las Vegas on BYU Sports Nation. Never a disappointment. After the break, we'll discuss some Cougars in the NFL. But we should remind everyone, the four-seed BYU that we just talked about playing the Big 12 Tournament quarterfinals. Thursday, 12:30 Eastern, pregame coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on BYU Radio. And as I mentioned, along with those Cougars in the NFL, which new deals have garnered your most attention and the shot from BYU Men's Golf that you have to see? It's one of the greatest golf shots I've ever seen in a college game. This is BYUSN.
Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B and Kansas City in front of T-Mobile Center. I am Spencer Linton, Jerem Jordan on the road. Let's get right to today's headlines. Jerem, start us off.
Big 12 awards came out. Richie Saunders, all Big 12 first team, most improved player, top five in the league in scoring, field goal percentage, 3-point makes per game. Freshman Yegor Demon also named All-Big 12 honorable mention, and on the freshman team, he led all freshmen in the league in assists per game and assist-to-turnover ratio. Also, BYU jumped six spots in the AP poll up to number 17, baby. 17-plus!
Big 12 scoreboard from day one at the Big 12 tournament features four games of note for BYU fans, 12-seed Oklahoma State and 13-seed Cincinnati. The winner there will take on Iowa State, who will then take on BYU, whoever comes out of that portion of the bracket. 9-seed TCU matches up with 16-seed Colorado. Kansas State, the 10-seed, will square off against 15-seed Arizona State. 11-seed Utah takes on number 14 UCF. By the way, Cincinnati leads Oklahoma State 6-3. It's very early, but games are underway behind Jerem as we speak.
Compelling and rich. Yesterday was the start of free agency in the NFL. Two Cougars signed with new teams. How about Zach Wilson? Fins up. He's headed to Miami on a one-year deal worth $6 million. Defensive lineman Kyrus Tonga also signed with the Patriots. One-year deal, $2.7 million.
Love Zach Wilson to Miami. He gets to work with Daryl Bevel, member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints quarterback.
And they'll probably release Tyler Huntley.
Yes. Love that marriage, if you will, on the football dynamic field between Daryl Bevel and Zach Wilson. Hey, BYU softball looking to get back in the win column tonight against Utah Tech in St. George. The first of two meetings between BYU and Utah Tech this season.
Men's volleyball stays at number 6 in the AVCA poll after two losses to USC last week. Up next, the Cougars host Havoc, Saturday and Monday.
Number 22 ranked BYU men's golf tied for eighth after 36 holes at the Lampkin Invitational in San Diego. Simon Kwan leading the way for BYU at 2 under par, currently tied for 14th overall individually. Tyson Shelley had an incredible day.
Amazing!
With this unbelievable chip shot, if we can even call it that. I mean, this is just wedge beauty. Plays it perfectly up the green, and then that ball looks like it rolls back about 50 feet perfectly, ever so gingerly, into the cup. One of the best shots I've ever seen in college golf. Well done, Tyson. BYU teed off earlier this morning in their final round.
And diver Alexia Jackson, woo-hoo, Hansen, qualified for NCAA Nationals yesterday. How about a score, season best 3-meter score of 325.45. I don't exactly know what that means, but apparently that's great. Nationals begin March 19th in Federal Way, Washington.
After the break, it's time for Jerem and me to face the music with our preseason predictions for BYU men's basketball. How close were we? Did we get Kay Bacata's dunks right? Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B. Jerem Jordan live from T-Mobile Center in Kansas City as the Big 12 men's basketball
UKC, baby,
is underway. All right, back on Friday, November 1st, which feels like forever ago, Jerem. Okay? For context, what? I think that was, what, right around the time of the BYU-UCF football game? it's been a while since the basketball season got going. We put out our expectations and projections for the 2024-2025 season in several categories. Today is the day, the Big 12 season having concluded in the regular season, where we look back on those projections and see how close we were in some regards and how incredibly off we were in others. We will start with overall record. And I'm not going to lie, I thought I was pacing for perfection about 3 weeks ago, and then BYU went on this crazy run. But you tell the people what you picked BYU to go, and then obviously we'll recap what I did and get to the actual results.
I said 24-7. I wasn't that far off. One game.
One game. You were one game off thanks to this eight-game win streak. I said 21-10. BYU goes 23-8. Gosh, just give Jerem the TCU win or what, and you're at 24-7.
Right. Or Utah or Ole Miss. One of those three. I would have taken the Utah one.
Okay, now on to Big 12 record.
Okay, I said 13-7. You said 12-8. Actual 14-6. The fact that they eclipsed what we felt were lofty expectations is amazing.
Yes, we were joking about putting on the blue goggles. You said 13-7. I was like, whoa, hey, you've outdone me. Typically, I'm more of the blue goggle guy. You outdid me. And BYU beat both of our projections. Fantastic. Oh.
I was more blue goggled on hoops than you this year, man. We'll get to that.
Woo! Big 12 finish. You said fifth. I said tied for sixth. We're living in a world where BYU finished tied for third.
We're on the podium. We got the bronze. Let's go. No one cares about regular season finish, so whatever. That was great.
Okay,
scoring leaders. I said Cannon Catchings at 14.6. The whiff. You said Richie Saunders.
Come on!
At 13.8, you win 16 a game. Richie, you saw the leap.
Richie, I took a leap of my own when I heard about what Richie did in some exhibitions and what the coaches were telling me, like, hey, he might do this. And so I went with it, and he did it.
We weren't sure he was a starter, Spence. Remember that?
Yes. To Richie's credit,
he's amazing.
Tater Tot King and the scoring leader. Okay, rebounds leader. You said Kay Bacata 5.5 rebounds a game. I said Kay Bacata 8 rebounds per game, 7.7 per game. So I guess
that's pretty good.
Closest to the pin there. Okay, we were both right on Kay, but he would be the guy.
We call that a Tyson Shelley.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. In the heart of the cup.
Assist leader. We both said Yegor Demon. I said 5.0, you said 6.0, it's 5.6. So you're close to the pin by 0.1.
Okay.
Congrats.
Rebounds both really close, though. That's interesting that we literally split the difference there. Okay.
If only it had been at 5.5.
Field goal percentage leader. How do you not pick Foush Traore given his career?
He's number one in BYU history. Still.
But He didn't lead the team this season. It was Cave Akita, 67.6%. Maybe we should have known with all the dunks.
Right? No, he was amazing. Foose was 62, so he wasn't far off, but that was pretty good. Okay, three-point field goal percentage leader. We both thought Trevin Nell. What we didn't see was that Richie Saunders wouldn't just lead the team. He would lead the conference.
Wild.
In conference games. 43.7% for Richie, which was higher than what we thought Trevin would do, too. Trevin shot 42.6, by the way. I think people forget about that.
How about that?
The team shot 37%. This was a great scoring three-point shooting.
Yes. Trevin shot 42.6% from the three-point line and didn't lead the team. That is unbelievable.
Amazing.
But, yeah, the 37%, that's where I thought Trevin would be, 37%. The team did that. Incredible. Okay, three-point field goal makes. Not surprisingly, we went with Trevin Nell there as well, but it was Richie Saunders. 69 three-point field goal makes.
Amazing. Trevin only six short of that. So they have some snipers out there. They still do, man. It's a big part of what BYU does, but it's not the one trick that BYU does the best, right? I think BYU's depth is its greatest attribute this year.
No question. Okay, let's move on to the blocks.
Okay, blocks. Cave Akita, we both said that. 43 for me, 62 for you. We had 30. Surprised it was only 30. You know,
yes, yes.
62 was crazy ambitious.
So I thought that he was going to play more, but when you're playing like 20 to 22 minutes a night, it's going to be tough to get 62 blocks on the season.
His per 40 is probably 62, right? If he had played 40,
it's closer to 62. Okay, your steals leader. Yes. We both called it with Richie Saunders, but you were much closer. You said he'd have 35. He had 36. I thought it would be 50. Wow, you were only one off in the steals category.
I feel good about that one. I didn't nail a lot of these. I didn't nail that one, though.
Solid. Okay. Cave dunks is a
Cave
fun
Cave Akita dunks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably my favorite category here. You said 64 dunks. Wow. I said 35. You had 39.
Again, this is one of those I thought he'd play more. All good.
Yeah. Turns out Foose was still on the team.
And for good measure, take that, West Virginia. Okay, half-court shot.
Yes. Iowa State.
Yes, make, or BYU will not make a half-court shot. You said yes. You even called the guy in the game.
Yeah, Yegor Dem in Colorado. No, it didn't happen. You said no. What almost happened, though, was Iowa State at the end of overtime.
Yes.
Richie Saunders had a chance, and it was short and right. That could have been epic.
Hey, there was the logo three by Yegor against Arizona that's probably the longest
shot. Kicks his leg out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, best win. We both said Arizona and Provo. Breaking news, BYU did not win in Provo. They won in Tucson.
Yes.
Okay, the actual best win was Iowa State. Double OT, number 10 on the road in Ames, which is only 3.5 hours north of here, by the way. Iowa State's going to travel well to this tournament. They always do.
Mm. Remember when BYU destroyed Kansas and then followed that up with a road win in Tucson and then won in Ames? Remember that? Remember how they did that?
Kansas is the third best win of the year. That's crazy.
And by 30 plus, and it's still the third best of the season. Incredible. All right, good stuff.
17 plus times two.
Yes, great stuff as we look back on our projections. After the break, what are your expectations for BYU men's basketball in the Big 12 tournament? Responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
It is Austin Colley.
Are we live? Are we rolling? Are we rolling?
Yes, we are.
Okay. But we can cut this.
Yes, we can cut this. Okay. Okay.
Can we get an official start? I thought we were rolling through sound
look
again.
Look at the camera, homie.
Yeah, I get that. But I still think we're trying to figure stuff out.
Your face came up. Are we live?
Let's get it. Okay, here we go, guys. We're going.
Didn't realize team captain Ron Burgundy.
All right. This is perfect for the blooper reel.
Holy.
Just a taste. Tomorrow, the 2025 BYU Football Alumni Game Draft will be posted on our social media accounts. Check it out. See which Cougar legends will be teaming up in this year's alumni game on Friday, March 28th. Our question of the day, what are your expectations for BYU men's basketball in the Big 12 tournament? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at TX Colonel on X, who says, just win one game, then we revisit expectations. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who gets it, Jerem?
Richie Saunders, first teamer, baby, most improved in the Big 12. What a year from him. The journey ain't over.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham, and thanks to our crew in Kansas City as well. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We love you, but we ran out of time. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Shows on demand at BYUSN.com. For Jerem, I am Spencer. And another shout-out to Kalani Sitake, who is the keynote speaker for today's BYU devotional starting in about 5 minutes here on BYU TV. We'll see you tomorrow from Provo in Kansas City. Go Cougs!